And away we go. Scott Spears back with you. Last day of March 2020, 14 minutes past the hour. Who would have thunk that we would have been here on the last day of March 2020? Unbelievable circumstances that we're in at this particular point, but we will continue through them as we continue through everything else. We certainly thank Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler for joining us in hour number one this morning. Very, very sobering conversation, if you heard it, when it comes to equipment, when it comes to what the future holds for this pandemic, when it comes to what May might look like. It is very serious information and something we all need to take heed of at this particular point, because this is where we are. And this is really important stuff. Now, what I do want to remind people of very quickly here, the Marion County EMA is accepting donations of personal protective equipment. Donations needed: disposable gowns, non-sterile gloves, surgical masks, N95 masks, hand sanitizer. Call the Marion County EMA at 740-223-4142. That's 740-223-4142, or email smcnamee@co.marion.oh.us. Again, that's smcnamee@co.marion.ohio.us. This is all very important information as we go along, so contact the Marion County EMA if you have any of those items. After the very sobering, is the best way to describe it, conversation we had with Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler in hour number one, it is always great to check in with our mayor. He is joining us every Tuesday through this pandemic to let us know what's going on in the city of Marion and keep us informed, and we can't thank him enough for that. We are always glad and happy to welcome to these microphones. We wish it was under better circumstances, but this is the way it goes. The mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Scherzer. Mayor, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you. Good morning, Scott, and good morning to your listeners. And yes, I think we all wish it was under better circumstances, but I think getting a message out to your listeners is important to let them know what's going on in their city government. Even if they don't live in the city, we're still providing a service here in the city, and we're looking for ways to scale back some of those services to make sure that we practice all the social distancing and medical advice of Dr. Acton that we watch, I think most of us watch, hopefully nearly every day now.
I think it's become something, a ritual that we all should do and pay attention to, because it's really life and death now at this point, and it's awful to say that, but that's where we are.
Well, there's no doubt about it, Scott. I think we all got sobering news over the weekend, whether you watched Dr. Acton and Governor DeWine or the president's. we're anticipating that surge. I'm sure Tracy Kinsler talked about it. I heard you mention that she was on in the last hour. That surge is likely to hit the Midwest here in the next 2 to 4 weeks. I don't know if she's narrowed that down any or not. I spoke to Tracy over the weekend, and we made contact on Sunday. So it's really weird. You're talking to people on the weekends that you might not ordinarily do, but under these circumstances, these jobs are 24/7 right now, and thankfully we have good people in these positions.
Just on what you said, and as a resident of Marion for a long, long time now, when Tracy was on in hour number one, and I was very happy with her candidness and honesty, but basically this surge is going to happen. It's going to happen here. We are not going to have the equipment that we need. That is going to be a reality at some point. 40-70% of the population is going to be infected with it. That is very sobering and candidly frightening news to hear.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I think that we all need to be very conscious of that as we, again, follow the advice of Dr. Acton and Governor DeWine. Both have shown extraordinary leadership in dark times in our country and our state. And it appears that governors and mayors across this country are the ones that are stepping up and doing their part. I really defer to the public health officials like Tracy, the medical professionals, I talk to Dr. Gingrich often at Marion General Hospital. That's where I get my local information from. And again, like many of your listeners, watching Governor DeWine and Dr. Acton and the president and the daily briefs, try and catch as many of them as I can. Can't always sit down and watch all of them, but I do have certain members of my senior staff that are watching them. I know in the police department, Chief Collins and his senior staff tune into it, as well as Chief Deem of the Marion City Fire Department. So at least, our frontline responders, police and fire, are also well aware of what's going on. A lot of conference calls taking place by some of the people that I just named. And, you sit in on those conference calls and, you figure out, there's always something that comes up. The PPEs were the thing that we were talking about last week. The N95 masks. Most people have never even heard of an N95 mask. I put myself through college working at a grain elevator and used to wear a very similar mask in the summertime working around the grain dust. Now here it is an even more vital life-saving instrument than any of us could have ever have imagined. But with the PPEs and the being in short supply, and how do our police and fire use them to the best of their abilities? And then we saw all of this over the weekend, how Governor DeWine reached out to the president and got the FDA to approve the procedure that Battelle is going to use. And so I'm meeting with my senior staff at 10 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and two chiefs were putting their plan together, how to get their PPEs in a brown paper bag, if you will, and make sure it gets to the hospital. And then the hospital sends it down to Battelle, and then it gets sanitized and sterilized and gets back. And we figure now, with what we're seeing and with what we're hearing with Battelle's new technology, is that we can extend the life of a PPE 20 to 50 times. Not real sure whether it's 20 or 50, but we know that we can extend it out a great deal. And so that was quite a relief, because if you watch what some other countries have done in being successful in dealing with the COVID-19 virus, the PPEs were crucial for the healthcare and the first responders and making sure that their country, got over that bell curve that we have all learned and seen so many times lately. And this will definitely help our first responders and our medical personnel, nurses and doctors.
Mayor, when we look at this, we're trying to put we're trying to be okay. We're trying to stay calm. That's the best thing we can do in a situation like this. But this is so strange, so unprecedented. We're looking at something that's coming. It doesn't look like there's any way to stop it. We can help by staying in and making sure we're not doing the things we shouldn't do. But 40 to 70% of the population being infected, I mean, if you're a family of four, that's half your family. That's unbelievable.
Right. So, I think we all hope it's like the weather forecast in the middle of January or February when the weatherman says that, there's 2 feet of snow coming your way, and everybody rushes out to the store and buys the supplies and batteries and everything to weather that storm. So I think we all kind of have this hope deep inside of our souls that that might be the case here as well. We don't know, but we have to prepare for what the medical and healthcare professionals are telling us, and hope that we will be able to weather the storm, which we will. We know the storm will end. We know the coronavirus will pass. We'll get through it. But unfortunately, there's going to be some tough times as we weather this particular storm.
Absolutely. The city right now, what's going on locally? Are city council meetings still going on? How's the city functioning?
Well, last week, Scott, you may know that the state legislature modified some of the, public meeting laws. And so we executed a council meeting earlier this month, and tried to do it Zoom conferencing. I think that's maybe a name that or a term that people will become more familiar with. There were some glitches. It's the first time we'd ever done anything like that. The clerk of council, Tarina Rose, has worked very hard to work out those glitches. They've canceled all the council committee meetings, and right now, at this point in time, we're only scheduled to convene a council meeting on April the 27th. And I've asked department heads that if you have items that need to go to council, get them submitted to the directors, and then they'll get passed on to the law director, because he looks over all the ordinances before they go to city council. And we'll make sure that they are of crucial importance for the operation of the city. To get those before council, and I will ask the department heads to reach out to the council members. Let them know why this is important. Maybe it's a time issue. Maybe it's a we had an EPA issue that we needed to get something done at the last council meeting. We had an FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, issue with our terminal that is currently being constructed. So, you know, what we look at as being crucially important, the public might not see that, but it could really hold back the progress of some of the things that we're currently working on and hope to work on. There will be a point in time later on this year where we'll be resurfacing streets. We needed to get legislation before council to spec and bid the street resurfacing program. We did that at the last council meeting. So we're looking to the future. We always do, but maybe we're looking at it differently now and making sure that we get those items to City Council on the 27th of April, if necessary. Maybe there'll just be a couple of things. The last council meeting, I think there were 16 items. That's a rather large council agenda, considering the circumstances, that we might not have taken all 16 of those items to City Council earlier this month, and so we'll see what happens when we get into April.
You know, Mayor, this is a question I think we're all going to have to deal with at some point. Financially, does the city have a plan? I know last week we talked about a pandemic plan and plans that are put in place for disasters like this. This is going to be a rough financial time, I think, for everybody until this clears up. How is the city dealing with that?
Well, we're following the state, again, the state legislature, the state income tax, and the city income tax is following the federal income tax deadlines. I think you and I, we did talk about that. I think we couldn't exactly get the date right. I think it's July 15th now.
Right, right.
So the same thing will apply here in the city of Marion for your municipal income tax. I think it's important to remember that the earned income tax that you pay to your Marion Municipal Government is based off of your 2019 earned income. So that's kind of already set. You already earned that money last year, and you're required to pay the 2% on that to your Marion Municipal Government. It is a concern this year with as many folks in the service industries that have been laid off. And what that will mean for next year's filing. So we're not quite there yet. We're thinking about it. We're talking about it. We're looking at it. But I don't think it's ready to pull the alarm at this point in time. We have a very healthy carryover at this stage of the game. I'm certain that we will have to dip into that carryover as we prepare the 2021 budget. Again, something that we're already thinking about in the first quarter, or last day of the first quarter of 2020, we're already thinking about the 2021 budget and getting department heads to be very critical in their departments with their finances. If you don't need it, don't put it in the budget. And then we'll take a look at that carryover to help supplement next year's revenue in 2021.
Mm. The city has already made a lot of changes during this time. Are there any possibly coming this week that you could talk about, or any further things that are on your mind at this point?
Sure. We're always talking about that with my senior staff, and right now we're trying to figure out some of the best ways to limit the exposure of our city employees. We still have some folks that are working. And so I think it was 2 weeks ago now that we limited the public's access from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Our folks were still working an 8-hour workday. We are now going down to a 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday for our own employees, and that's primarily City Hall, airport, senior center employees, and we're also taking a look at how we create shifts, if you will, to rotate these shifts in and out in our street department, sanitation department, city garage, and the wastewater treatment plant, all considered very critical departments in the operations of the city. Possibly out of all those that I just mentioned, picking up your trash is very crucial, as well as making sure that our sanitary sewers are working properly, or as properly as 100-plus-year-old sewers can. As you know, we have been doing sewer replacement projects ever since I got on city council many years ago, and we'll continue to do that. But we're looking at doing shifts and rotating those shifts in and out, allowing our employees a prolonged stay at home, and then we'll switch that shift over and bring on a fresh shift, and they'll work a week. So we're kind of working through those details right now. Jim Bischoff, the Public Works Director, is trying to come up with a schedule, working with department heads, Scott Kurz at the City Garage, Street Department and Sanitation, Matt Ice at the Wastewater Treatment Plant. But you take, for example, our IT department. It's a two-person operation. We've sent one home, and poor Jacob Bolden has to stay here because he has to be accessible for the IT needs and concerns that we have. Same thing with City Utility Billing Department. We only have four employees down there. We're only working two at a time, and now they're going to work from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at this stage of the game. There may be a point in time where we have to close some of those departments down completely and totally, and we'll take it one day and 1 week at a time and follow the professional advice of those that I've already mentioned.
Mayor, two quick questions here. Last week when you were on, you talked about the city did have a plan for a pandemic with Marion Health. Mm-hmm. Is this kind of how that plan unfolds? Is there anything more to it that you can tell us at this point?
You know, plans are awesome. They're a good blueprint. But when you get into a critical situation like we're in right now, sometimes you just need good old-fashioned institutional knowledge and experience. There are maybe minor things that were not thought of, not considered. Who would have thought that we would not have enough PPEs? You know, who would have thought that we would need PPEs for 8 weeks or 10 weeks as opposed to a 1 week period? You know, those are things that we maybe didn't plan for, and nobody did. I mean, it's an issue across the country that when you get into a crisis like that the country is in, you know, those are the things that we have to adapt and overcome. And thanks to an institution like Battelle, we are, and we will continue to adapt and overcome as we use the plan as a blueprint. But it is not definite. It's definitely not, you know, chiseled in stone. We have to be flexible, and that's what we're doing with our police department and our fire department, and really every department that we have.
And final question: as we head in to the month of April here, which for a lot of reasons could be one of the most memorable months in the history of this country, what do you say to the residents of Marion at this point? This seems to get a lot more serious every time we talk. We're going up that hill. What's the message at this point?
Well, I think the message is follow the advice of the professional medical community, whether it's public health, whether it's Dr. Acton. That's the best weapon in our arsenal right now as we head into this surge. You know, I see people out and they're walking in parks and they're playing in parks and they're playing basketball. That's probably not the best thing to do right now, is have a pickup basketball game or a touch football game, because everybody's touching that football and then they're wiping the sweat off of their face. It's okay to go out and walk. I've got a daughter who's on the track team. She goes out for a run. Going out for a run is a good thing. Going out for a walk, walking the dog, you see more people bicycling. I think that's great when you can do that. I just think you have to be careful of things like scams. Believe it or not, there are people that will scam you in a time of crisis like this. Internet scams, phone scams. Our seniors are the most vulnerable when it comes to these types of scams. I've gotten more solicitations on my city email from people that I've never seen and never heard of before, and I don't know them. So they go into the delete pile immediately right now. The city is not going to be scammed, and I don't want our citizens to be scammed. Also, be careful, and we did talk about this last time, of social media. Be careful what you read. Take everything with a grain of salt. Verify and confirm something that you see or read or hear on social media. Don't fall prey to scams and erroneous information that is often printed and sent out over social media.
Absolutely. Mayor, I can't thank you enough for the time. We'll talk again soon, and stay safe out there.
Thank you, Scott. You too, and your listeners as well. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mayor of the City of Marion, Scott Schertzer. And there you go. There's our update. These people, the mayor, the health commissioner, Tracy Kinsler, they're being very candid with us. And I don't remember a time in broadcasting, rather I was on the air or just listening, to where this is this important. We know what we're heading into, and I think we've got to be cognizant of it. We really, really do. We've got to be cognizant of what's going on, big time. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. This is Dan. Anyhow, I was wanting to find out, the status of releasing people from the jail. I don't know if that's the wisest idea. I got a sister-in-law. She said that, that there has been a case coming out of the Crawford jail, and if those people are exposed, do they really need to be released?
Well, I don't. This was on social media, was it not? It was not on the news.
I've got a sister-in-law that works at the hospital there in Columbus, and apparently there's a case there. But, letting these people out, if they've been exposed, seems like it's more dangerous than ever.
Right. I don't believe that they're letting any criminals out. I have seen things about this on social media. I have not seen it from a reliable news source. I can't speak definitively on it because I don't know. But I don't know that that's happening. I don't... I know here in Marion, we talked to Tracy Kinsler this morning, the health commissioner. There was a case in the Marion facility. She could not say whether it was a guard or an inmate because of the privacy laws. But I don't think anybody's being released, even when they have a confirmed case in the prison. So I don't think that's happening. If there's some definitive proof on that, I would look at it. But I don't think that's true. We had the sheriff in last week, and I didn't hear anything about that.
Well, I would think that they'd want to test him before they let him out let him out the community. So, I mean, that would be my concern.
Right. I don't think that's going to happen because I'm not sure what the reasoning would be to let somebody out in the middle of a pandemic. I don't know what the – was there any thinking why that would be a good idea?
I'm not sure, but, you know, being that my sister-in-law reported that they did have a case in Crawford County, one of the few over there, but one of them was a worker. And so if those folks have been exposed, I would think that would be a problem, honestly.
Oh, yeah. At this point, I have not heard that. I have not seen. I would imagine the Columbus news stations and certainly the local papers would be reporting that, and we would have some news on that. I haven't seen anything of that kind. That might have just been something on the internet, and maybe something the mayor was just talking about. There's a lot of information being put out on the internet at this point that is not correct. I don't know why people are putting it out there and people are sharing it, but I don't believe that's correct. But I believe if you called the jail, I'm sure they would be glad to answer that question. But I don't think that's true.
All right, well, was just voicing a concern. I appreciate the time.
I appreciate you for calling in. Thank you. And that's what we're here for. I don't know that that's true. I haven't heard that, and I can't imagine why that would be happening if somebody was incarcerated. But you never know. I can't say either way at this point because I don't know. If you want to weigh in, it's 41 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you no matter what you would like to talk about this morning, just like the caller who called in. It's an interesting time. I don't know, as I was saying, any more serious of a time that there has been. You know, we've had wars in this country. There's no contesting that. But they happened on other soil. You know, the Civil War was the last war to happen here, and there's nobody left living from that time. And highly unlikely anybody left living who remembers the flu of 1918. They would be well over 100 years old and probably would have been a baby when that was going on. So it's something. And sometimes you don't have the words. And I don't have the words at this point. I just know that we are going to try to get people on the air when they need to be on the air. And we're going to try to get the information out as the information comes out. And we'll do it that way. Now, if you have anything to contribute, now remember, you know, your eyes and ears are out there in the community as well. And I'd love to hear what you think. 740-383-9944. You might have heard things that I have not heard. And that's important in a situation like this. Now, I do want to let everybody know that Voice of a People with Linda Sims will be on today, 4 to 5 p.m. The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker will be on 5 until 6 p.m., and we will also have the Adam the Computer Guy show on 2 to 3 p.m. today. So programming will go on here at the station. We will continue on like we have, but it's a different time, and we're going to cover this story as seriously as we can, but we are going to continue to have fun because we can't come in for 2 hours every day and just stay on this because we don't want to frighten anybody. We want the mood to be light. Just take it seriously. Take the information we're giving you. Do the best you can with it. And if you don't feel well, call the doctor. That's where we are right now. Now, again, anybody who wants to call in is more than welcome. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring, and we will get you on the air. That's what we do here. Now, so we can stay in our regular life at this particular point, we are going to do trivia. We're not going to stop. You know, I dug deep in the folder today. We've finished our presidential trivia. We've finished our Family Feud trivia. But I found some old trivia that we had not done in quite some time. We never got the answers to these questions. So I thought we'd go back to some of these today and have some fun. This is a question we never got answered. Does anybody know who sang the theme song to the television series? Well, you don't even have to tell me that. Does anybody know what the name of the theme song was to the television series Good Morning Miami? Good Morning Miami, what was the name of the theme song? Does anybody know what that was? We had this question for a while, never got it answered. 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? Does anybody know? 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? That's a question we've had out there for a while. 740-383-9944, if you have an answer to any of these. Does anybody know the most famous character on The David Letterman Show? Was voted as the most famous character in the 30-plus year history of The David Letterman Show. Any David Letterman fans out there? Here's a local question for you. Does anybody know the name of Madge Cooper's show on WMRN that was on for so many years? What was the name of the show that Madge Cooper hosted on WMRN? Who did Phyllis Diller do her last national television interview with? There's another one for you. Phyllis Diller's last national television interview. Go ahead, caller.
Was Madge's show Over the Coffee Cups?
You know, it was Over the Coffee Cups. That was her original show, so I'll take that. But do you remember what the name of her other show was?
No, and I wouldn't even have known that answer if I hadn't been listening to you guys. That was before my time.
Now, did you know of Madge Cooper before you heard her on here?
I did not. You guys have opened me up to so many new things. I never heard her name before I started listening to you all.
Well, I'm glad you got a little taste of Madge. Madge was a great lady.
Yeah, I somewhat remember, you know, being a little kid in the backseat of my mom's car, hearing, you know, Charlie, and then seems to me like maybe Jeffrey, but Madge I hadn't heard of. But, I mean, I've listened to her interviews that you've done and all the accolades that everyone gave to her, and sounds like she was quite a lady.
Well, she was, and she retired from daily radio, I think, in 1976, but she was on the air with me through the age of 97. So,
wow.
Yeah, so she was and she lived to be 99, so Madge was a fun lady.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah.
Well, have a good show, Scott.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Absolutely. One of Madge's shows was Over the Coffee Cups. There's no doubt about that. But she did have another show. Does anybody know the name of the other show that Madge did that she was kind of tied? She had a lot of shows. But the two that she was most closely recognized for were Over the Coffee Cups and another one. Does anybody remember the other one? The other one, Over the Coffee Cups was the one she started with. But the other show was the one that she was doing when she went off the air in 1976. Does anybody remember the name of Madge Cooper's show on WMRN? Does anybody know who Phyllis Diller did her last national television interview with? I will tell you this, I was in the audience when this was done. Who was it with? Who was voted the most famous character in the history of The David Letterman Show? All 30-plus years. Does anybody know the title of the theme song to the television series Good Morning Miami? Do you know that? 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? Like actual pie. Apple, cherry, banana, cream, you know, pie? 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? 740-383-9944. Those are the questions. 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? What was the name of the theme song to the television series Good Morning Miami? Who was the most famous character in the history of the David Letterman show? What was the name of Madge Cooper's show on WMRN? And who did Phyllis Diller do her last national television interview with? She was 94, I believe, when she did her last national television interview. It was with a rather famous person. And as I say, I was in the audience when this was done. I was an invited guest, so it was kind of nice. 740-383-9944. Those are the questions on the table right now. 50 minutes past the hour on this last day of March. It's interesting. I know I say that a lot, but boy, there's no other word at this point. Go ahead, caller.
Are you talking, okay, on pie? What about, did they heat it up?
You know, that's a good guess. It's not heated up, but that's a good guess on that one.
I know a lot of them do.
So. I know, there's nothing better than warm pie and whipped cream.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye. The answer's not heated up. The question is, 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? Now, again, this is normal pie, cherry pie, apple pie, banana cream pie, coconut cream pie, lemon meringue pie, whatever kind of pie you have. 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? 740-383-9944. Now, interestingly enough, I saw that some people who are home now are doing a lot of baking, and a lot of people are making pies. How about that? Go ahead, caller.
Put cheese on the pie?
Not cheese, but I know a lot of people do that as well.
Yeah, I've heard of that. It sounds nasty, but I thought maybe that might be it.
I wouldn't go for it, but you're right. Bye-bye. Yeah, cheese would not be a thing for me on a pie. 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? Delicious pie. You know, nothing would ruin a pie more than putting a piece of cheese on it. And I like cheese. But I would not want pie and cheese put together. Just like I don't want macaroni and cheese and ketchup put together. Now, I'm okay with scrambled eggs and ketchup, but not macaroni and cheese and ketchup. That's a step too far for me. Go ahead, caller.
Ice cream on pie.
You know, certainly a lot of people do that, but that's not what 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do. That's a good guess, though. A la mode.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Not put ice cream on pie. 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? Not put ice cream on it. Not put cheese on it. Not heat it up. What is the correct answer at this particular point? 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to do what when it comes to pie? 740-383-9944. An interesting question. You know, I'm trying to think of a hint here that would get you in the right ballpark. It has to do more. It's not. Oh, boy. If I say it in a certain way, it's going to be very easy to get. Let's see here what I can come up with in the way of a hint. It has to do with more of eating the pie. So what does that tell you? 1 in 5 Americans. Go ahead, caller.
Making it from scratch.
You know, that's a very good guess, too. Not the answer. It has more to do with the actual eating of the pie.
Hmm.
Yeah. Keep thinking.
Eating. Okay. Eating.
eating 2 pieces.
Well, you know, you're on the right track there. It's not eating 2 pieces, but that's the closest guess we've had.
Okay.
Okay, keep thinking. Bye-bye. Yeah, eating 2 pieces is definitely the closest guess that we have had on the pie question. Let's see what we have here. Go ahead, caller.
How about eating too much?
You know, that's... What would be too much?
Oh, the whole pie?
You got it. 1 in 5 Americans, that's it. 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to have eaten an entire pie by themselves. That is exactly right. 1 in 5 Americans have claimed to have eaten an entire pie by themselves. And you know what? I hate to say it, but I did that one time. And I did not do it on purpose. It was a warm summer night. It was a banana cream pie. I did not mean to eat the whole thing, but... You know, I turned around and looked, and that whole banana cream pie was gone. So there you go. That's the story. Other questions on the table here. Does anybody know the title to the theme song of the TV series Good Morning Miami? Does anybody know that? We'd love to know. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
That one program Madge had was called Orbit, where she had a lot of recipes on it.
You have got it. Orbit. Do you remember the Orbit program?
Yes, I do.
You know, when she did that program, did she used to take the recipes over the air?
Yes, they did.
That's interesting. Are there any recipes that stick out in your memory?
Well, I bought her Orbit, that she made a cookbook, and I got the Orbit cookbook.
Oh, that's it. Didn't Madge put some recipes herself in that book?
Well, some of the recipes were... people called in, but you might have had a few in there of her own. I'd have to look and see.
Yeah, she was a very... Did you ever get a chance to meet Madge?
I've seen her in person several times, just at different places, but not to talk to her.
Yeah, she was a very interesting woman, very knowledgeable woman, and had a great long life.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Yes, Madge... the other show that she did was called Orbit, and it did produce a cookbook. Now, I have one of those cookbooks, but I don't have both of them. I think there were 2 produced. I would love to have both of those cookbooks, just because they're a big part of Marian tradition. I have one. I think it was the 2nd Orbit cookbook. I don't have the 1st one. But I'm always interested in anything when it comes to Madge or the history of Marian radio. Articles, newspaper clippings, audio cassettes. I know a lot of people used to tape the radio with audio cassettes. So if anybody ever has that information, wouldn't mind getting a copy. That is for sure. Madge Cooper's show was Orbit. All right. Does anybody know who Phyllis Diller did her last national television interview with? Kind of interesting. Interesting stuff here this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, was it maybe Phil Donahue that interviewed Phyllis Diller?
You know, that's a good guess. It wasn't Phil Donahue, though. He was already off the air by that point.
Okay, well, I know, but some of them still might do it sometime. Okay, thank you.
Good guess. Thank you. Yes, it was not Phil Donahue. Who did Phyllis Diller do her last national television interview with? Very famous person, very well-known person. And I was in the audience. As I say, I was invited as a guest. It was a lot of fun. And that was something I'll always remember. It was televised. Does anybody know who was voted the most famous character in the history of the David Letterman show, the 30-plus year history? Who was the most famous character? Does anybody know the title of the theme song for the television series Good Morning Miami? Now, this is on YouTube, by the way. If you wanted to look up Good Morning Miami theme song, you would be able to hear it and listen to it. I think it's about 30 seconds long, and you would know the title. But what was the title to the theme song of the television series Good Morning Miami? That's question... That's question number 3 today, I guess. Does anybody know who Phyllis Diller did her last national television interview with? She was 94 years old at the time. A very famous person. And who was the most famous person in the history of the David Letterman show? Voted as the most famous character in the history of the David Letterman show. I cannot believe this person has been forgotten, to be honest with you. This person ended up doing commercials and did movies and did all kinds of things outside of the David Letterman show. So it's interesting that as time passes by, names like this get forgotten in a way. We can take one more guess today on any of these questions. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. Don't forget the Adam the Computer Guy show coming up today at 2. Voice of a People with Linda Sims coming up today at 4. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker coming up today at 5. You do not want to miss these programs for love nor money. They are good programs, they are informative programs, and they keep you in the loop of things that are going on here in Marion and beyond, and they educate you just like we hope we're able to do. I will be back here tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., steering the ship. But until then, make it a great one. This is Scott Spears, heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion grocery store, Smith Cardinal, Bob Smith.
Well, at the height of, you know, ceiling, the height of one time, well, two times.